This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Bug the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast where we talk about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, it is a history-making episode of What the Puck this week, and it's just not even, it's not like one of our big shows. It's not like episode 300 or 350 or something like that. No, this is all about Ovi. Alexander Ovechkin hit third all-time goal scorer, beating Jaromir Jagr up against the New York Islanders. Ovi is now at 767 all-time goals scored in his NHL career. It is Alexander Ovechkin, it is Mr. Hockey, and it is the Great One. Quite elite company he has there. I mean, he's kind of just like Joe Flacco. He's quite the elite performer.
No.
Might be better than Joe Flacco.
Yeah, there are a lot of players in the NFL that were better than Joe Flacco.
Well, he's still playing, so got signed to a one-year deal to the Jets.
Yeah, that's a sign of how good you might not be.
Love you, Joe. Anyway, joining me as always to talk all about it, Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, feeling good. What an up and down roller coaster of a game up against the Islanders the Caps had last night. Alexander Ovechkin making history, and then it seems as if the team was like, okay, we're done for the night. See ya. And they decided to stop playing after Ovi scored that goal. I know it was a big deal, but there was still time left on the clock, and these guys kind of gave up. Game went into overtime, then went into a shootout. I mean, that game definitely could have ended a little bit better. I mean, we still got 2 points and a win, so, I mean, it's hard for me to complain, but definitely feels like the Caps were kind of let that one slip away a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know what? If you're going to go on a Western Canada road trip and you're going to then come home and you're going to get, in Western Canada, you get 5 out of 6 points.
Not bad at all.
And then you come home and you get another 2 points. I mean, they've won 4 of their last 6. They, you know, Columbus looked like they were creeping up on them. Now they're 13 points up on the Blue Jackets. They're only 5 behind Pittsburgh and the Rangers, though the Rangers do have an extra game in hand. I'm not too upset with what they've been doing lately. And you know, they do have all their guys back, you know, for the last few games. I don't think this is necessarily their best lineup.
Sure.
Because we have, although Hagelin, he has nice things he brings to the team, but there are things he's missing. And I think Axel Janssen-Fjällby, who we need to say congratulations to, got his first NHL goal. I think I heard this morning he is the 9th
yes
player this season to get their first NHL goal for the Capitals, which is insane.
Yeah,
first time it's happened in like 40 years or something. I mean, it's nuts. But I think, you know, you don't have Joe Snively. He just got re-signed. Look, I'm just keep these quick little notes in here. Snively got re-signed to a 2-year, $1.6 million deal. I think it's great that they're bringing him back. I think he has a great opportunity to be part of the starting lineup. Not the starting lineup, but to get dressed every night. You know, he doesn't actually get to start the game. Which I feel like in hockey is not as big as a deal, big of a deal as it is in other sports.
Yeah, there's been many games I've gone to where Ovi is not the first guy on the ice.
Right? Like, when I was younger, I was always like, how come he never starts the game? And I'm like, oh, it doesn't really necessarily make a difference. I mean, it does make a difference, I'm sure, in some regard. But it's not like you're starting your top line every time. It's not a game of EA version of NHL.
The only position in hockey where that really does matter is goaltending.
Yeah, I'm 100% on board with that. I think that definitely makes sense. And I think we've gotten off track already. But either way, I think having these guys back healthy, Mantha's contributing, Oshie's contributing, it causes the other team to have to make harder choices in terms of who to pair their top two defensemen, their top four defensemen against. And I think you're getting contributions throughout the lineup in some way, shape, or form. And so I don't necessarily have an issue with how this team is doing right now. I think they're doing well. They just need to keep it going because they're, like I said, they're still 5 points behind Pittsburgh and the Rangers, and things can change quickly if Columbus, especially, you know, it's a pretty important game coming up on Thursday in Columbus. But a lot can change before the end of the regular season, and they can certainly make a run to try and catch Carolina. That have to be a heck of a run because they're 9 points behind them. No, sorry, 11 points behind them at the moment, and Carolina's got 2 games in hand. But you can get a better spot, and instead of taking on Carolina in the first round of the playoffs, you're taking on the Rangers or Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I have to reiterate. I mean, coming back from Western Canada, those are some hard-fought games. 5 out of 6 points, that is not bad whatsoever. And that's on the Western Canadian road trip. That is not an easy road trip to take, especially this late in the season. So it's kind of crazy that these guys have been able to do what they've done in the last couple weeks. So very impressive that they were able to get 5 out of 6 points. The fact that they got 2 points after the Ovi goal, also fantastic. And like you said, 13 points up from Columbus for that last playoff spot. I don't want to jinx the Caps in any way, but I kind of feel as if we can start looking forward instead of kind of looking behind the team, because I don't see Columbus coming back and taking that final spot. There's only, what, 21 games left of the season, so it's going to be pretty difficult to score or get that many points. I mean, yes, they were close. They got into within 8, but I think that they're a little bit further down now. So we can look forward. We can look to see, is there a chance that the Capitals could overtake the Penguins? Could they overtake the Rangers? I don't see them getting that number one spot in the Metro, but really right now the biggest worry for this team is seeding and who they are going to face in the playoffs. If you look at it right now, the Caps are up against Florida in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So
the reality is a lot can and probably will change between now and the end of the regular season.
Sure, absolutely. But do I think that these are the four teams in the Metro that will be going to the playoffs? Yeah, I think, I'm not going to say that's etched in stone, but it's chiseled somewhere. And I think that these are the four teams that will be representing the Metro in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And luckily, the Capitals are one of those teams, even though it has been kind of difficult to see them as a playoff team this year. They haven't been playing great. But with all that help coming back, Anthony Mantha is the answer. That's right. I've been saying it. He's been absolutely fantastic since he's been back in the lineup. That second line, we need to put a spotlight on some of these lines. Like, the top six right now is solid. Ovi, Kuznetsov, Sheary, Mantha, Backstrom, Oshie. That's a solid top six, and they are performing as well as they should be. The fourth line of Axel, Nick Dowd, Garnet Hathaway, also this grinder line, are doing absolutely fantastic. That third line, Sprong, McMichael, Tom Wilson, that one's a little suspect. So maybe once Lars Eller gets back out of COVID protocol, he currently is still in Vancouver. Hopefully when he gets back, it could be McMichael, Eller, Tom Wilson on that third line. Daniel Sprong can sit out. Those are four solid lines. If all of them can continue to work as good as they have been together, I can see this team going far in the playoffs, because just those four lines on offense, at least, you've got a goal scorer on each line. You've got these grinders in the fourth line that are doing their job, doing what they got to do. Tom Wilson has shown that he can be offensive and defensive minded way more than he has been in the past. You got young guns like Connor McMichael, Axel Janssen, Fialbi. I mean, these four lines, these are the four lines you go with moving forward. It just makes sense now, as long as everyone can stay healthy, you know, knock on wood. But honestly, the top six, the fourth line right now, I mean, I'm not betting against them.
I there's a lot of things that can happen between now and then. The team is on a run right now, and the thing they need to do is just keep it up. They need to keep their focus, and they need to take it almost one game at a time and see what happens. And, you know, in some respect, their future is in their hands in terms of just making the playoffs, but where they're at and what their matchup might be isn't necessarily up to them, because they put themselves in this position to not have control of their future by when they were struggling. So you got to hope for a little luck. You know, you hope the Rangers and Pittsburgh start to lose a few games and the Caps have a chance to kind of move up in the standings a little bit and get into a better spot, at least in the first round. But really, it's going to come down to goaltending and what we're going to see there. I mean, Vanecek, he's their number one guy right now.
Yeah.
I think without question, he's the man.
Now, coming up, we do have a back-to-back Thursday and Friday night, so I assume one of them is going to be Sammy. But like you said, the game on the 17th up against Columbus, that's a four-point game. And then you got Carolina right after that. Do you trust Sammy against either of those teams?
I mean
that Columbus game, right now, I think is more important than the one against Carolina. But Carolina,
yes,
is
that's a 4-point game.
Yeah, but Carolina, I mean, they're no slouch either. I mean, they're at 87 points right now. That's a solid team. I don't know if you want Sammy. I don't know if you can
you
trust
him. Do you put Vanecek in both?
And then play Sammy what against Dallas on Sunday?
Maybe. Maybe not. I think you need to start pushing Vanecek to see if he's your guy in the playoffs. I mean, we've got the deadline's, what, less than a week away?
Yeah.
Decisions have to be made regarding the – and I think to some respect, decisions already been made that they want a goalie. I just think the only goalie they want is Marc-Andre Fleury, and I don't think Fleury wants to come. So I unfortunately would not be surprised if they don't get a goalie. I'll be frustrated because I think that's what they really need if they want to really make a run – to the playoffs, or through the playoffs, I should say. I think the guy that they want is not going to be available or interested in coming. And so I think you need to know what you have in Vanecek, and I think you need to push him a little bit because it's not like the playoffs are going to be any easier mentally. And everybody's tired come playoff time.
I know Marc-Andre Fleury doesn't want to be here. I know Braden Holtby's situation in Dallas is kind of change things up a little bit due to the fact that their other goaltender has been hurt, so it looks like Holtby is going to be their number one guy. Seeing Varley last night, I thought Hela was pretty impressive in the net against the Capitals, and you know he's got a really good goaltender in the New York Islanders as well that could be their number one guy if they are trying to unload Varley. So maybe he's an option you can look at as a veteran to bring back to the Capitals, but I think Vitek's our guy. I think he's the guy moving forward. I've been singing his praises for 2 years now. I'm interested to see what they do with him, if he can stay healthy. Sammy, I don't know. I think this is a really tough spot to be in this week. You got two back-to-backs, and then you've got a Sunday and a Tuesday game. Both of those are at home. But I don't know. Do you start Vitek back-to-back? Those are two tough teams. I think you probably have to split them, but I don't know which one I would trust Sammy against. I don't know.
I think it's more which one is better for Vanecek at this point. I mean, they have to make a decision. Who's your number one and who's your number two? And I think Vanecek is clearly the guy that they prefer right now. Yeah. I think the players, it seems like the way they're playing, they prefer Vanecek. I think the coaches tend to prefer Vanecek because while Samsonov has this sort of outstanding athleticism, he's making more mistakes than Vanecek is, and he's putting the team in worse spots than Vanecek is. And when it comes to the playoffs, that one little mistake can be what costs you your spot. That could be what sends you home early. So I think Vanecek's the guy, unless they can bring in someone like a Fleury.
I don't see Fleury coming, but we'll find out, I guess, on Monday.
I mean, I don't either, just because of the history that he has in terms of being with Pittsburgh for so long. I think it would just be super awkward for him. Don't see it happening.
We'll see what happens down the road. Let's talk a little bit more about Ovi's goal. Did you see the video that Jaromir Jagr put out to congratulate him?
It would have been nice if things had ended well in DC for him, so that way I wouldn't dislike him as much as I still kind of do, because he's still, like, he's kind of a weirdo in, well, like, a fun way, but he's definitely a bit of an odd one.
I loved the little joke he had at the end where he was like, I could come back. I could come back and score more goals. I could chase you now. So I did like that he was teasing Ovi a little bit.
He'll probably be playing when Ovechkin retires, and he'll just come back and try and beat him then.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, exactly. But this is such a big deal for Ovi. You're right on the money, dude. I mean, we said St. Patrick's Day, and you got it right. Man, you should have placed a bet on that.
2 days shy.
You said buy St. Patty's. I think that counts. You definitely should have done a little sports betting since it's legal here in Maryland now. So get a little cash back for that. But big deal for Ovi. He said that he was really happy that his family back in Russia could watch that history being made. So, I mean, he's confirming that his family is in Russia, like we discussed a couple weeks ago with everything going on, how difficult of a position that he's in right now. But his family is over there watching him make this history. I love the goal counter that they put in the corner with Slapshot now putting the numbers down. It kind of reminds me of like Cal Ripken's 21-31 used to be on the warehouse when he was chasing that that record. But I hope that's a thing that they're going to keep up until he gets to that Gretzky record.
I think so. I don't think there's any reason to necessarily take it down. My thing I want to know is, do they have two different Slapshots? One that can like jump out real fast when he scores a goal? Like, so does that mean there's one dude just like sitting in a bird costume with like the heads off and he's just waiting behind the scenes, and then Ovechkin scores and like the other guy who's like on the upper bowl is like, ah! And like has to like run out of sight so the other one can come out and be like, look, I'm here now.
You know.
No.
there is a guy.
No. Terrible there idea.
There is a bird named after three goals in a row that they should just station. That should be his one job. Hat trick, officially, like Hat Trick's Nest is the Ovi counter. That's what they should do. That's your boy.
No. strongly disagree. If there is a way to be stronger in disagreement with you right now, and the fact that that thing exists, I'll be that.
Poor Slapshot. Gets no, or no, poor Hat Trick. Slapshot, he gets respect from you.
There's
but
just
hat
no
trick.
Need for him.
I just gave him a need.
No, man. Just have the guy sitting there waiting with the thing off. It'll be fine. It'll be great. Don't worry about it.
Last little bit of news, I guess, before we get out of here. Because, hey, when the Caps are winning, I mean, there's not much for us to talk about. But we have to say, I don't know, is it like a congratulations? I don't know. But this was Zdeno Chara's first time back after leaving the Capitals to be in Capital One. And he was playing in front of fans. I know he got some limited time in front of fans during the playoffs last year. But he spent, I mean, what, 80% of his Capitals career playing in front
his
of
Capitals
no one?
Capitals career, he was here for a year, dude.
He was here for a year. But
one
like,
season.
So here, I'm glad you brought that up, because Ben Raby brought this up on Caps This Morning on their podcast, and he said, hopefully there's going to be like a video tribute to Zdeno Chara for his time here at the Caps.
I think now, you Zdeno do that because he's Zdeno Chara.
Okay, but Zdeno Chara, I mean, listen to past podcasts. I've been very vocal about this. One of my favorite players. I was ecstatic when it was announced that he was a Capital last year. I'm sad to see him go. I wish he would have stayed here and been a part of our defense. I absolutely love Zdeno Chara. Just fantastic player.
You don't
fantastic
say.
Guy. Yeah. I got one of his jerseys. I had to make it on Fanatics because he wasn't available at the time. But I made one with his number and name on the back of the Capitals t-shirt. So I was sad to see him go, but like you said, he was only here a year. Does he deserve a tribute video on the Jumbotron? Because as much as a fan of Zdeno Chara I am, he was here, like you said, it wasn't even a full season. It was a shortened COVID season. How many highlights could they have?
A full season, I don't know if it really makes that much of a difference. I think the reality is because it's Zdeno Chara, and because he did appear to have a pretty good,
everybody loved him.
Yeah, like he had he did a lot for this team. He definitely helped Nick Jensen. That
big
I think
time.
You're like, okay, well, we can give him a little bit more of a thing than we might have some other, you know, some schmuck that may have just been here for like a couple days.
I don't know. He was fantastic. He was here for a
also,
year.
Was Ben? I heard that. So was Ben? You think he was being serious or was he messing around?
I don't know. But I told him, like, I got to ask Dan this. What, does he think this is a good idea or not? Because I feel like we're, even like in the NFL, certain people are part of the teams and they're like, thank you for the memories. And they'll put a video out. And I was like, that guy was here for like 2 years.
Yeah, but if you win something or you make a big impact, I think like, yes. And I think Chara, to an extent, made an impact.
He was like an assistant coach out there while he was playing. He was mentoring players. Nick Jensen, like you said, definitely has been a better player this year because of his time spent with Zdeno Chara.
He definitely benefited.
Oh, 100%. 100%. But it was just weird. I was like, a video tribute? Really? He was here for not even 82 games. But, okay. I mean, it's Zdeno Chara. I guess I'm cool with that. I like the guy. So, okay. That's fine. Let's do it. But, I don't know. I was like, that's odd. And again, because they're doing a video tribute for the fans. The fans never got to see him play.
They never got to see him play in person.
Right.
So, no, yeah. I mean, it's fine. There are worse things they could have done. Like, yes, not have Peter Bonner or Ole Kolzig's name up in the rafters at this point. But what this team, I mean, it was nice to have to have him back, but he was only here for a year, and it's only because he's a big name. Are you like, anybody would make a big deal about it. I am not that concerned about it.
What the kids call it now is like giving people their flowers when they're still around. Maybe that's what they're kind of doing. They're giving him his flowers now.
No,
it's a saying.
No, it's not.
That's a saying that the kids are saying now.
Which you kids? Know? I needed to talk to them.
I don't know. What are after millennials? Gen Z?
Yeah, I think that's Gen Z.
Gen Z? Yeah, they say, you know, praise people while they're here, not when they're gone. So give them their flowers now. I don't know.
All right, sure. Whatever. This doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Why not?
Yeah. So it was Zdeno Chara. Thanks for the memories.
It was nice to have him because he's a big name. It was cool, but it's also like he moved on. It made sense. It made sense for the Caps not necessarily bring him back. They can, you know, use that money for something else.
Yeah. Anything else we should talk about here in Caps world?
We talked about Ovechkin passing Jágr. Did we mention he's also now the highest scoring European player in NHL history? So
that's
he's chasing two Canadians, but he is now in the record books the highest scoring European player in the National Hockey League history. That's insane. Not only that that's happened, but that he's someone who plays for the Washington Capitals. The team that, when they first came into the league, was garbage. Like Jacksonville Jaguars garbage.
Yeah.
And then, or Columbus for the longest time. And now, not only do the Caps have a Stanley Cup and a ring to their name, but they now have a player that's played his entire career up to this point for them that is the highest scoring European player in NHL history. As Caps fans, I have to imagine it is so very unlikely that we will have a player of this caliber ever again. Now that of his caliber. Now that may not be true. I mean, we're seeing more and more over the last 5, 6, 7 years, real top quality players coming into the league. You know, and I feel like it's happening more and more versus, you know, you get a good player with the first round pick. Like these are like generational talent that you're seeing in like McDavid, Austin Matthews. And, you know, you're getting more of those guys that are kind of coming into this league and doing really well. But to have someone that's on the roster that's still playing at 36 is still playing like he was in his early 20s. It's insane. He's an incredible hockey player, and we are lucky to have had him on the team that we support for this long.
Yep.
And he's one of those guys that when he's not on the roster anymore, it's going to, you know, when he retires or goes back to play in Russia or whatever the case may be. Well, assuming he'll, anyways, let's not go there. You know, it's, I don't know, man. It's crazy that someone that plays for the team that we support is this freaking good. I think that's the best way to put it.
I got to say, as a Baltimore native, I know you're a little bit more southern, closer to DC, but as a
Baltimore, like 20 miles from you. Calm down.
You have different teams than you support than me.
Yeah, but what the heck? As a southern gentleman, I live...
Well, I do declare.
I'm fairly confident I could get to your house if there was no traffic in a very short time frame.
I'm sure. But like, as
I'm going to find it out. Why does my computer keep...
All right, I'll reword it. As a Baltimore City kid that grew up in Baltimore, unlike you, I've been very fortunate for the sports teams that I support and who I've seen play in front of me.
Joe Flacco doesn't count.
All right, well, look, I've grown up watching Cal Ripken Jr.
Yeah, I did too.
One of the greatest baseball players to ever play.
Were you at 21-31?
No, I watched it on TV.
Yeah, so did I.
I have the Baltimore Ravens, who are two-time Super Bowl champions, and I grew up watching Ray Lewis, one of the greatest players to ever play football. Those are two Hall of Famers right there. And then, as a hockey team, which Baltimore doesn't have one, I got to watch Alexander Ovechkin enter the league as a Washington Capital, win a Stanley Cup as a Washington Capital, break all these records, and he's going to have a Hall of Fame career. I mean, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. So I've been very lucky to grow up in this era of sports in the Maryland area, because the three teams that I do support all have had Hall of Fame players on those teams as I grew up. It wasn't like stories of, you know, oh, in my day, we got to see blah, blah, blah. I mean, Johnny Unitas, one of the best football players to ever play, but that was before my era, and he's ours. Sorry, Indy, you don't get him. He's ours. But, yeah, I mean, I've been very lucky. These are some great players, and it's we're all very fortunate to be able to watch Alexander Ovechkin have this magic, and I don't doubt it. I think he's gonna catch the great one. I do. I do think he's going to break Gretzky's record. It might not be next year, but he's going to get there.
That'd be insanely impressive.
Yes, it would. But he's going to get there, no doubt in my mind.
Okay, as the crow flies from Baltimore to where I am at, you're looking at, it's probably a little bit more than this because it's not like, it's on like downtown Baltimore, 30 miles. And I'm like barely south of you in terms of, we're more east to west than north to south, I think.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's 30 miles. That's about my commute to work now that I have to go in the office more.
So, yes, we support different teams, being that I'm from the D.C. metro area. Actually born in D.C., but grew up outside.
And you like Buffalo.
And that's because that's where my dad's from.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm also a fan of the Commanders. That name is coming around. But anyways, no, I mean, I think what you said is well put. You know, we've had players that have been incredibly good, both in Baltimore and DC. You talked about Ray Lewis. We talked about Cal Ripken. You know, DC's had, at least with the old name for the Commanders, you know, they had a lot. Darryl Green, Art Monk, not Ripken, but like Theismann. I mean, they've had very good players over the years. If you look at, Michael Jordan was playing for the Wizards, but it wasn't really Michael Jordan then. You know, he was kind of like, he looked like Michael Jordan, and he was still pretty good. He's still better than anybody else that was on that team.
Right.
But, you know, we've never had, I can't think of a player right now.
Oh, wait, I got one more. I got one more for Baltimore.
Okay.
Michael Phelps, most decorated Olympian for the U.S.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. Another Baltimore guy.
I think that's fair in terms of the comparison. But I don't think there's another player in D.C. Baltimore history that compares with what Ovechkin has done in terms of just his stats and what he has meant to the sport in the town or surrounding area that he plays in.
Right. Baltimore's always been a football town. They've always loved their Baltimore Orioles, even though the ownership is terrible. The Ravens came in. The Colts, you know, were before. Baltimore's always been a football town. So when Ray Lewis showed up, it was like, all right, yeah, the Ravens are legit. However, the love for the game was already there. Ovi brought the love of hockey to D.C. because hockey was kind of like the...
I mean, it was there to an extent.
But it was not...
Not what it is now.
You didn't expect to see Capitol jerseys on the Metro every day before Ovi showed up.
Oh, between him and Backstrom and... I mean, I think if you have Ovechkin and you have a bunch of scrubs, it's not quite the same, but that young gun era, the free-flowing Bruce Boudreaux style of just score as many goals as possible, revitalized hockey in our area. And it's going to be sad when, you know, he and Backstrom are no longer playing for this team. But, I mean, that's natural. That happens. I mean, look at Detroit. They had all those really great players, Yzerman, Fedorov. They had a lot of great players that were playing for them. Osgood, and they're gone. Not gone. They're not like deceased. They're just, well, actually, Yzerman's still there. He's the general manager now. But everybody goes through those cycles, and you just have to hope that the Caps do a better job of kind of retooling or rebooting the team post Young Guns era than Detroit did.
So let me ask you, I mean, this is maybe this is a little bit out of left field, and of course we're talking about this, and Ovi's still got plenty of career left to play. What does he do after his hockey playing days are over? He can play in the NHL and in other leagues around the world that shall go nameless at this moment. But I can't see him being a commentator. I can't see him being a coach.
I actually could.
I don't know.
I don't know if he'd be any good at it, but I kind of feel like I could see him.
Gretzky was a coach, and he wasn't a good coach.
No, I didn't say he was going to be a good coach. I actually think he... No, his public speaking... I could see him not doing a broadcast, like a play-by-play or commentating next... Like, he couldn't do what Lachlan does. But I could see him on a broadcast, like what Gretzky's doing now. Because we... And as we've seen through, like, interviews and things, he's kind of a goof.
Yeah.
And I think that works if he's comfortable being in front of the camera. Like, I could see him on, you know, ESPN or TNT or whatever, talking about hockey. I don't know if he'll want to do it. You know, he could just go back and buy the rights, or not rights, but, you know, partial or full ownership of a team over in where he's from.
I can see him doing that. That's my guess.
I could see him doing something like that and then just hanging out. I couldn't see Backstrom necessarily doing commentating because it just seems like he doesn't really want to be in front of the camera.
Yeah.
I could see Kuznetsov. I mean, he's got years to go, but I could see Kuznetsov doing that and actually being really good at it because he seems like a gigantic goof. And I think you need some of that silliness when you do that kind of thing because it makes the broadcast more entertaining. So, I don't know, but I could definitely see those are the three I could see. Oshie, I feel like, would go back and be a coach.
Yeah, Oshie, of those guys, of the core, I can see Oshie being the coach.
Holtby, I see just, like, moving out to the wilderness and we never hear from him again.
Now, Braden Holtby's going to run for government. He's definitely going to be, like, a politician and be, like, Prime Minister Braden Holtby. That's what I can see up there in Canada. Ovi, I can see him going the Yager route, buying a team, and then having Kuznetsov coach it.
No. He'll have it coached by Alexander Semin.
And then Backstrom, after his career is over, I can see him really enjoying being in the real estate business. Just selling houses.
I think he's going to go and just hang out.
Yeah.
Hopefully we have a number of years where we have to see what those guys are doing next. And that gives the Caps time to start kind of figuring out what their next...
We talked about that last week. They've hired some new recruits and... some new coaches and stuff looking for the next big thing. So they're already thinking about it too. So anything else we should cover here in Caps World?
No, I think that's it. It's been a good week. Let's keep it up.
That's right. Let's keep it up. That's it for Caps World. Now let's go down on the farm. Everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays. Another history-making segment here on What the Puck for Down on the Farm. I heard about it. I know you heard about it. Coach Dan, catch us all up. What's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start, as we always do, in Hershey, where the Bears went 2-0 with wins over Bridgeport and Lehigh Valley. Bears are currently third in the Atlantic with 65 points.
25. They're really bad at 25 points.
Terrible. even South Carolina's doing better. We'll talk about that in a minute. 65 points, four back of first place Springfield. They'll attempt to make a move towards first on the road starting on Thursday in Toronto before they head to Binghamton on Friday. Then they're off to Laval on Saturday. Another Bears news, goalie Zach Vukali made history on Sunday as he became the first goalie in the 84-year history of the Hershey Bears franchise to post three consecutive shutout wins. That's got to be intense. And then when you give up that next goal in the fourth game, oh man, whichever defenseman messed up that play, that dude's in trouble.
Was it during a line change when his own player put the goal into his net?
Oh, that's still funny.
Poor guy.
Whatever. Hershey Bears also announced on Monday that Brian Pinhoe is out indefinitely due to having shoulder surgery. So he's going to be out for a while. Things aren't getting much better in South Carolina, where the Stingrays went 0-3 in the past week with losses to Greenville, Norfolk, and Atlanta. They are currently last in the South Division with 42 points, 3 back of 6th place Norfolk, and 34 points back of 1st place Atlanta. Brandon, the Stingrays right now are currently dead last in the entirety. That is the ECHL.
Jeez.
Whew. They hopefully are going to start turning things around starting tonight, that being Wednesday, at the North Charleston Coliseum against Greenville, before heading to Worcester on Friday, then back-to-back games on Saturday and Sunday in Maine. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Well, Bears, let's see what you can do the rest of the week. South Carolina, let's just call it a season. Let's just cut our losses. Get out of there. Zach Fucale, though, making some noise. He, 3 consecutive shutouts. I don't know. I feel as if there is a team looking for a goaltender in the NHL, I don't know. Maybe you look at the Capitals Farm League and see what you can get there if they don't want to go for Sammy or something. I mean, maybe Fucale can be a little bit of trade bait. I don't know. We'll see. We'll find out on Monday. But go Bears. Go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL and beyond. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL and beyond. There's lots of hockey stuff going on in hockey world. So, Coach Stan, catch us all up. What's going on around the NHL and beyond?
Well, let's start with the silly season, as it is almost upon us. Colorado's getting things started when they acquired defenseman Josh Manson from Anaheim for defenseman Drew Helison and a 2023 second round pick. Dallas signed forward Joe Pavelski to a 1-year deal worth a reported total of $5.5 million. Toronto's Austin Matthews was suspended for 2 games for cross-checking Buffalo's Rasmus Dahlin. Did you see this play?
No, I didn't.
So they're just kind of, you know, going at it in front of the goal. And people are like, well, this happens all the time. Why is Austin Matthews getting suspended? It's because he cross-checked him in the freaking face and the throat.
You know what? I did see this. This was the outdoor game, right?
Yes.
Yes, I did see this.
That was 100% suspension worthy, because you have to have control of your stick at all times. I don't care if they're going at it like that, and I don't care if you're like taller than the other dude. I don't know if that was the case. I don't remember. But you know what? You cross-checked him in the upper region. Like, not okay. You get to go take a break. Okay? You're like a little kid. You're going to have a little timeout. Take a little break and come back when you're ready to behave. Minnesota's Marcus Foligno was fined $5,000 for kneeing Columbus's Jakub Voracek. And then Marcus's brother Nick made headlines for another reason, as he skated in his 1,000th NHL game on Tuesday. Nick and his father Mike became the second ever father and son to skate in 1,000 NHL games. The first were Bobby and Brett Hull. The Stahl brothers have made NHL history after Mark Stahl played in his 1,000th NHL. Everybody's playing 1,000 games, apparently, over the past week.
Yeah.
In other brothers doing things, the Stahl brothers have made NHL history after Mark Stahl played in his 1,000th game, as they became the first set of 3 brothers to play, or to all of them have played in 1,000 games. That's actually really impressive. I mean, think about it. You have 80-something games a season. I don't know if playoff games must count, but that's pretty good. Yeah. Even after like 10 years, you're still not hitting 1,000 games. And that's assuming you're playing in every single game. Elizabeth Mantha became the first female to referee in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. She was a blue liner at, I'm not going to say this right, sorry, French people, and Eastern Canada, Université de Montréal for 5 seasons, and has been refereeing since 2011, and recently was one of the refs at the IIHF Women's World Championship. Now, if her last name sounds familiar, it should, because she is the sister of Caps forward Anthony Mantha.
Oh, yeah, I know that name.
That's pretty cool. For the fourth straight Paralympics, Team USA brought home the gold medal in men's sled hockey. That's the latest gold medal win came in Beijing during the 2022 Paralympic Winter Games when the U.S. defeated and embarrassed rival Canada 5-0. Goaltender Jen Lee was quoted and said, "When I was a kid, I wanted to be two things, an athlete and G.I. Joe." I didn't expect that. "I was fortunate to be able to serve my country, and after I lost my leg, I was fortunate to be an athlete and represent my country in a different way." So congrats to Jen Lee, a true American hero, and the rest of Team USA. In the gold medal rivalry rematch that happened this past Saturday in Pittsburgh, the Canadian women's hockey team did something allegedly won 4-3. I don't know. I didn't see it. Can't confirm that it happened. Moving on, that's the news for the past week in the NHL and beyond.
Oh, man. Well, see, the U.S. wins gold, sled hockey, that gold medal game still for the women are just
Something else happened. Yeah. We're not really sure. It's okay.
Fine, Canada, you're good at hockey. Fine, we'll admit it just for now. But that is all for the show this week. If you guys want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related things from time to time when, you know, I actually have a chance to get on Twitter. But that is on there talking about the Caps, Arsenal Football Club, the Bills, the Commanders, and other things that may come up. But that's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod is where we post when new shows are coming out, as well all sorts of other things related to the Washington Capitals, Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, Hershey Cubs, and other things that are fun that pop into Brandon's head when it comes to the wide world of hockey. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, we've been talking about a little bit of football. We got some news. Von Miller signing with the Bills. The trade for Carson Wentz is now official. It's actually not as bad as I thought it was going to be. And it looks like reports are that Tennessee is going to be cutting Julio Jones.
Really?
Yeah. I just saw that from Adam Schefter. Wait, let me see if I can find it again. Yeah, but anyways, if anyone happens to be a fan of a certain purple-clad team based out of Baltimore, is there a podcast I should check out?
That's right. You can listen to my Ravens podcast called The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast. Me and my buddy Josh talk all things Baltimore Ravens football. The draft is coming up in less than 50 days, so we'll definitely be covering the draft as it happens. Of course, we won't be previewing it in any way because I don't know any of the college players that we would be going after, so not really my thing. But the Ravens are definitely getting a little bit bigger on defense. Our Darius Smith, who was with the Green Bay Packers, coming back to Baltimore where he started his career. So very happy that he will be a part of the Ravens again. Now let's talk a little bit about What the Puck here. That's what we're here for. We're here to talk about the Caps and hockey. If you'd like to continue... If you'd like to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can do that, like we said, over on our Facebook page and over on Twitter. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us on Spotify, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, "I'm a Washington Capitals fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should too." So let's go over the games until we talk again. This is crazy, everybody. There's only 2 days off until we talk again. That's right, 2 days off. We're going to be talking next Wednesday, but in between that time, in just 1 week, there are 4 games to cover. Craziness at the end of this year. So on Thursday, March 17th, the Capitals are in Columbus up against the Blue Jackets. That game is at 7 o'clock. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. Then on Friday, the Caps travel to Carolina on the 18th. 7 o'clock start. You can watch that game up against the Hurricanes on NBC Sports Washington Plus. And then on Sunday, March 20th at 5 o'clock, in D.C., up against the Dallas Stars, 5 o'clock start, NBC Sports Washington. That's Braden Holtby's homecoming. That will be his first time since leaving DC.
Dun, dun, dun. He
will be back in the DC market. Wow. We're talking about a tribute video for Dana Chara. They're definitely doing one for Braden Holtby when he comes back on Sunday. So that's a no-brainer right there. Didn't go well for Braden Holtby. First time around, the Capitals went to Dallas this year. But it's going to be a different story when he comes back to DC. So, wow, that's a big game on Sunday. Everybody should definitely check that one out. And then on Tuesday, March 22nd, the Capitals welcomed the St. Louis Blues to town. That game is a 7 o'clock start, and we can watch that one on NBC Sports Washington. So 4 games until we talk again. That's crazy amounts of hockey to watch. Plus, there's a 4-point game in there. There's a game against the Metro-leading Carolina Hurricanes, and it's Braden Holtby's homecoming. We will have plenty to talk about next week. But until then, everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps!
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.